First of all, I look at the life of Jesus, and I ask myself, where did he witness at? He witnessed in the synagogues. We know he witnessed in the temple area. He witnessed at lakes, on mountaintops or hills, and inside homes, just to name a few places.
The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. This is Sharing Your Faith. I'm your host, Larry Du Bois, and for the next hour, we will be discussing evangelism. Check in each week, or you can listen to a previously recorded message on my website, sharingyourfaithradio.com. Well, on behalf of First Love Radio, I want to welcome those that listen not only in the United States, but around the world. Wherever you're listening from, my friends, I hope you'll stay tuned because we got a great show coming up for you. I wanted to mention before we get started in today's show a couple of things. First of all, if you're new to joining us, we broadcast once a week a new show on every Friday, First Love Radio, which is our primary way of broadcasting, runs my program, Sharing Your Faith, 7 days a week, twice a day, 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Now, that's Pacific Standard Time, so you will get repeats. All right, before we give you a look at what's coming on today's show, I wanted to briefly talk about last week's show. I wanted to clarify something. Last week's show was on spiritual warfare in evangelism, and I wanted to clarify something, battling the flesh. I remember we did a little discourse there on the world, the flesh, and the devil. And as it pertains to evangelism, I should clarify, because when we're talking generally, we talk about battling the flesh, it's our own flesh. In evangelism, I was trying to bring forth the concept of other people's flesh. So there's kind of a twofold thing there. It's our flesh. Now, we do have to battle that as well. There's a spiritual battle. We may not feel like going out. We may be discouraged. That's a spiritual battle with our own flesh. There is a distinction to be made, though, about other people and their flesh and how they react to us. So that was something I just wanted to clarify. Now, in the future, we're hoping to have a live broadcast. This is something that is possible. And I would think that during a live broadcast, we would just probably take questions, have a question and answer period, that sort of thing. It wouldn't be a normal pre-recorded show like you're listening to now. But that's something I'll let you know. When and if that happens, you can email me some questions ahead of time, and we'll try to have call-in at that time as well. All right, for today's show, here's what we got coming up. In our teaching section, we got some scriptures on evangelizing in events. That's the topic of our broadcast today, evangelizing special events. And so we look to a few of the scriptures, and we're going to look at the book of Acts. And there's not a lot of scriptures on event evangelism, but we'll look at some. Then we're going to have our question and answer time, as we normally do. And the two questions we're going to cover today: should I ask permission from authorities? Now, that's the idea of when you go to a location in your community, if you're setting up an outreach where you're doing a little bit more than one-on-one, but it could be just handing out tracts and one-on-one. The question is, should I ask permission from authorities? We're going to look at that and the different things coming up later in the program. And the second question is it important to know your audience? So this is something that comes up quite often. Sometimes there's an overemphasis on that, but we're going to tackle that. I also have a surprise guest in an interview. I'll just say this: you have heard him before. I'll leave it at that. And later on in the program, stay tuned, because we got an interview with a special guest today. Today is Help Wit. And if you remember, this is something I introduced a few weeks ago. Help Wit is short for Help Witnessing. I wanted to come up with a clever, quick name for it. But the idea there, it's just a little short lesson, maybe 1 or 2 minutes, on some practical ways to help you in your one-on-one witnessing, your lifestyle witnessing, whatever it may be. And so it's called a Help Wit. Today's Help Wit is going to be titled Saul's Armor. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that and find out what that's about. And then at the end of the show, towards the end of the show, we're going to have our featured content today. Wally Van Zandt, as I've mentioned several times last couple of weeks, he had passed away, went on to be with the Lord. And the 1st of April, he had Lou Gehrig's disease. We're going to get a sample of his preaching. That's today's show. So stay tuned. After this segment break, we'll go right into our teaching section today. God bless you, my friends. This is Larry Du Bois, your host of Sharing Your Faith. I want to take a moment to talk to you about some resources that we have. If you go to the top of firstloveradio.org, you will see a link that goes to First Love Publications. If you go to that website, it is a site devoted totally to providing free publications. We have books, we have gospel tracts, and a lot of other things there. So if you go up there and check it out, you can order literature to assist you in your evangelism. Whether you're witnessing to just one neighbor or you are doing a citywide outreach, we will be able to, as the Lord provides, help you with that. So please check out First Love Publications. There's an order form there. There is everything you need. So go to it, order your tracts today. God bless you, my friend. Now back to our regular programming. Well, my friends, once again, it is time for our teaching section. And today, we're going to be looking at a few scriptures concerning the topic of our show, Evangelizing at Events. There is not a lot of scripture addressing this, but I do have a few thoughts and a few scriptures. First of all, I look at the life of Jesus, and I ask myself, where did he witness at? He witnessed in the synagogues. We know he witnessed in the temple area. He witnessed at lakes, on mountaintops or hills, and inside homes, just to name a few places. But what about this? I thought about the feasts in Jerusalem. You know, it was at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came. The apostles gave great testimony to and witness to the resurrection. Many people were saved during that time, 3,000 souls in one day, and then later another 5,000. There was a great feast at that time, and so there was a lot of people in the city. The city swelled. And of course, they had they have Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread there. They have three feasts that were required by Jewish men to attend, yearly. These could be considered events. You know, the thing about an event is the main purpose is there's lots of people there. So that's the idea. I'm going to go witness at the event because there's going to be a lot of people. Now, weren't there a lot of people in the day of Jesus and the early church at these Jewish feasts? So there would be a lot of people. So it might be a stretch, but I would say that's a good example of where Jesus went to witness and others was at the feasts. Okay, let's take a look in Acts chapter 17, verse 17. I'll read the verse. Therefore, he disputed in a synagogue and with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the marketplace daily to them that happened to be there. Now, in Acts 17, Paul had come to Athens. He was waiting for Timothy and Silas to join him. In the meantime, he walked about the city. That is where he noticed these idols. He used that as a segue or as a launching pad, if you will, into the gospel and the great sermon he gave on Mars Hill. But before that, in fact, that's how they met up with him and they brought him to Mars Hill. They heard him in the marketplace. And so I like this verse because it says, he went into the marketplace, he went into the synagogues, but he went into the marketplace daily with the people that happened to be there. It's not rocket science. It's not, something lofty. He just went down to where people gathered in the marketplace. Now, we could take and expand on that. Well, where is the marketplace? You know, we got summer coming up, and many communities, at least here in the United States, are going to have these farmer markets. And a lot of people go to those. And these farmer markets nowadays, they have more than just selling goods and selling fruits and vegetables. They actually have entertainment, and they have all these things that would attract as many people as possible. And so, you know, that could be an event that you would go to. So it's taking, just going out into the marketplace, taking advantage of that concept. So that's the verse. Another verse, which is interesting, it's in Acts 19. And the context, of course, is where this man was a maker of silver idols. He got together with other people. They were, you know, concerned that this Paul was turning the world upside down. He was telling people that idols made with hands are no gods at all. So they were worried about not only the great goddess Diana would be affected by this, her reputation ruined, but also their trade of making money by making these little idols. And so there was a big stir in the city. Well, at a certain point, there was a great, you could say it was almost like a miniature riot or something. Okay, and in verse 30, I'm going to read 30 through 32. It says, when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Okay, Paul, you know, very zealous and wanted to witness to people even when they were in an uproar. Sometimes wisdom would say, and if you don't have the wisdom, sometimes other people, God will use other people to bring wisdom to you and prevent you from doing something that may not be profitable. Sometimes when an event is under such confusion or it's so heightened by emotions, to go and to try to preach there or evangelize there may not be the best thing to do. There is a gathering of people, no doubt. Years ago, I'm originally from Seattle, Washington. There was a singer, Kurt Cobain, who had died back in the 90s. They had a public funeral, if you will, for him, a memorial service down there in Seattle Center. Now, he was a famous musician from Seattle. And so there was all these young people, and I thought, what a great place to go and witness. And I wasn't very experienced in preaching then, but I thought I should go preach. So I went down there. Well, it was so somber, and I thought, well, you know, would my rules of engagement allow me to just start preaching? And I just decided not to. It could have been I just chickened out. I don't know. But praise God, there were people there. They were walking around with signs. They didn't have to say a thing, but you could not miss these great big banners. And they weren't derogatory towards the singer or anything. They just were the basics of the gospel. It was a great way to get the message out to the crowd. But that's an example. Now, there wasn't a riot there or anything, but sometimes these gatherings, for example, if they're having a gathering, they've had them here in Oakland, California, where a policeman has shot somebody, there's a controversy, and so they have this big gathering, and, you know, it's a very hostile environment. Sometimes it's not good to witness there, and this would be the passage I would look to. You know, Paul wanted to, but they say, hey, look, it's not a good time for you to come down and do that, so here we have in Scripture a passage where how not to do it. Now, I would say this, we have to use wisdom. Sometimes we are to go. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to speak and a time to remain silent, a time to, you know, do this and a time to do that or not to do it. And so we have to use God's wisdom in our prayers and spiritual understanding. Ask God for discernment, wisdom. And sometimes our zeal is not according to God's will. Okay, I want to give a little bit of a discourse since there wasn't a lot of scriptures that I could go to for events. Maybe there's some I'm overlooking and you could point those out to me if you'd like to give me an email or something. One of the things events help is in small towns. As I mentioned in the preview of this show several weeks ago, I was talking about, you know, you go out into the areas of smaller communities, small towns, and there may not be people walking around to witness to. So you have to come up with something else. And so a lot of these small towns, they have these events. That's the idea. So you have opportunity. Now, in a big city, you don't have to rely on these events. There's plenty of events, but you don't have to rely on them. You just go downtown. There's always people, and they're always from all walks of life. So they just have this idea that, you know, you'd go down into your community at one of these events. Now, I mentioned before also, I was going to talk about the pros and the cons of witnessing at events. The number one pro is lots of people. Again, when we are doing evangelism, this isn't so much for one-on-one, but it's when you want to go out and hand out a lot of tracts or do some preaching, that sort of thing. And you will get into conversations, for sure. That's something you may want to do there. The more people, the merrier in a lot of cases when you're doing preaching and that. So that's a good thing. These events, there will be people there. There are some cons. There are some negative things to consider. You at events will have more encumbrances, especially in a smaller community, like being told you can't be there or there's limitations. I know at the state fair, the brothers up there in Sacramento that they go to, they're assigned a place of free speech, and they negotiated over the years a fairly decent place, but they're told that they can only be here and there. And so you run into a lot more restrictions. And whether these restrictions are in violation of some sort of civil rights law or something else, that remains to be seen. But you will run into some opposition in just the logistics of the whole thing, where to set up and that. The other negative thing about a special event, depending on the event, is people can be so distracted. You know, you wonder, is this a good venue or not? I am a firm believer that it is God's word that saves. God's word and God's will persevere through any kind of human opposition or anything else. But sometimes we also have to consider in a human way, is it profitable to try to tell somebody about the Lord when they're, you know, screaming as they come into a ball game? We've done a lot of outreaches to baseball games here in San Francisco and the surrounding Bay Area sporting events. And one of the things we notice is people are so riled up, and it doesn't seem to matter if the team wins or loses. When they come into the game, they're distracted to a certain degree. When they come out, they're in a hurry to leave, and they get riled up, and you ask yourself, am I really, you know, doing any good here versus just going out in another time of day or something? Those are things to consider. I've done a lot of ball games. I've done a lot of events over the years where you wonder if they're being so distracted. Now, another place, I'll give you an example. My strategy in a parade. Now, early on when I did parades, I was not an experienced street preacher. I always wanted to preach. I usually started out witnessing at parades with using tracts and handing out Gospels of John, that sort of thing. But I've done a lot of parades. My strategy is this. You want to get there as people are lining up to get good seats for the parade. So you start earlier than the parade starts, obviously. They're sitting out there on the street. They're waiting for the parade. They have nothing really to do. And you go down the street and you can hand out tracts. You can, you know, preach. What I do, though, is once the parade starts, I stay ahead of the parade. But once the parade is going to overtake me or whatever and it starts, then I don't try to witness anymore because they're there for the parade. They're going to be distracted. They're going to be tuning me out and they're going to, at that time, consider me even more of a nuisance than they may have already thought I was. So that's the idea. So I'm not trying to compete with the event itself. One time years ago, we were outside of basically a rock concert. It was an outdoor concert, and we were close enough. We were on the perimeter. Well, the brothers there, they thought that they should continue to preach once the concert started. Well, the concert was drowning us out for sure. But the people on the peripheral edge by us, now they could hear us. And we were actually interfering with their reason to come to the event. And you could say, yeah, well, your salvation is more important and so on and so forth. But at that point, it sort of became unproductive, I felt. So when you're doing an event, you have to, again, use discernment, use wisdom, some common sense, and you'll get an opportunity. But when we take these opportunities, we want to have the best opportunity that we can have there. That's with parades. I've done the Gay Pride Parade. This is something I no longer do. The Gay Pride Parade in San Francisco at a friend, witness here many years, Larry Rosenbaum, and he said, well, you got to do it at least once to experience it. It is something that, again, it's so distracting with everyone there, and it just, to me, became unproductive in a lot of ways. For those that want to go there, praise God. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't go. Just for me, I realized that this was a venue I didn't no longer want to do, generated by some sort of agenda or controversy. In other words, you get a parade for, you know, the gay pride or for some sort of protest. it is slanted. I try to pick the parades that have a lot of people, but there's no agenda, so to speak. Like, for example, 4th of July parades. There's other community events that will have a parade. Up in Seattle, they got a thing called Sea Fair. It's a summer event, so they have a parade for that. So they're more benign, and you don't get into a lot of the hardline stances and that sort of thing. I've done sporting events, as I mentioned, a lot of sporting events. I've done various festivals, garlic festival, pumpkin festival. There's wine tasting festivals, Bavarian festival. I mean, there's probably way more than I can think of that I've done over the years. Those are some of the things as far as witnessing at events. And in any case of witness, we want to have the love of God in our hearts. We want to bring glory to Him. And so wherever you witness, whether it be at an event or anywhere else for that matter, keep in mind we are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we want to give a good witness. We want to give a credible. The reason I had picked this topic for this particular week, the week starting May 25th, is Memorial Day weekend here in the United States, and we celebrate it with an extra holiday on Monday. And that event is primarily for remembering our veterans and that. But it is a holiday. And in the city of Sacramento, for a number of years, they had a jazz festival. And later it became what they would call the music festival. Well, this was an outreach that the brothers up there and myself, now I've done it since 2008, I think. I haven't done it every year because I was traveling in that. But they have done it very consistently. My niece had brought something up because she heard me talk. When I talked about this being canceled, she wanted to know, well, is the evangelism being canceled or is the jazz festival being canceled? Because it's been going on there. It's been a mainstay there in Sacramento. And I said, no, the festival itself is being canceled. And so thus the evangelism to it is also canceled. But it is the event coinciding with the event this year that it's not going to happen. I want to give our featured content today, actually, is going to be a man named Wally Van Zandt. And Wally, you're going to hear some samples of his preaching. And I just want to give him a little bit of a tribute. Initially, we thought this will be the first year Wally has not preached at this event because Wally has passed away. Wally went on to be with the Lord. He had died of Lou Gehrig's disease at the first part of April. And I thought to myself, he's not going to be able to preach at this event. Then they cancel it. So I thought, well, maybe there's poetic justice there, as it were. Our featured content this week is concerning a good friend and fellow street preacher, Wally Van Zandt. If you go to my website, sharingyourfaithradio.com, and go to the feature content link, you can't miss it. It will have some videos up there, Wally, and a few other things if you'd like to check it out. And so, my friends, stay tuned for our next segment right after this. Thank you for joining us. This is Sharing Your Faith. Well, welcome back to the show. And if you're just joining us, it is time for our question and answers. So let's just jump right in. The first question we're going to take is, should I ask permission from authorities before witnessing? Now, this would include going out, handing out tracts in a particular area, perhaps, or this could be a bigger outreach. I know that when you want to have a large outreach, like SOS Ministries in San Francisco, then you obtain permits because you're taking up a whole park or something. But just to go out one or two, three people out witnessing, the question begs, should I ask permission from authorities? Well, my quick answer is no. First of all, let's look to Scripture. We don't see Jesus or the apostles asking permission from the Roman authorities, nor from the Jewish leadership to witness. In fact, quite the contrary. They did their preaching and evangelizing against their commands to do so. You know, Paul didn't go up and ask Nero, hey, is it okay if I evangelize in the Roman Empire? You know, this is not a biblical concept. We have the command from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has permitted us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, a lot of times the issue of amplifiers comes up and that sort of thing, but we don't want to ask permission. Now, when using an amplifier, if you're out there preaching like I do, I usually have found that I just go. I don't ask any questions. I just go in faith. Sometimes you wonder, well, is it presumption or is it faith? But I go in faith and I just use the amp until I'm told not to. Many times they don't even notice you're out there. You're not out there for that long. You're not out there all day in one place or something, drawing attention to yourself. Eventually they might come and say something. But I just go in and sometimes fly under the radar, as it were. So I go out and I just believe God will have great things, even using the amp. And I found this to be quite successful. Years ago, in a ministry that we had in a church setting, the leader, we thought we should go out and evangelize. And because of the uncomfortable aspect, we want somehow to have permission from authorities or from certain people groups so that we feel okay about our witnessing. We kind of want our cake and eat it too. We want to be able to preach Jesus unhindered, and yet we want everyone to pat us on the back for it somehow or get approval of men. And we're never going to get the approval of men, so let's just go out there. This was a delay in what we could have been doing, because as soon as you ask for permission, here's the downside. In all likelihood, they're going to say no. And then what are you going to do? I've mentioned this before. Then you got to go against your conscience, or you just don't go. So it's better not to ask and be told no. It's better to go and then be told no at a point in the future and then deal with it then. Years ago, again, another time in Berkeley, my friend Richard Latimer, we're out there, and three of us, we've learned not to volunteer too much information to the police, you know. But he goes right up to this sergeant that's out there and says, can we preach here with the amplifier? And we're thinking, Richard, don't do that. You know, we're thinking, Mr. Magoo. It actually turned out for a great revelation that would help us in the future. And that was, the sergeant told us their policy. And their policy, even though in many cities, there are some laws that would forbid amplification without a permit, some noise ordinances, there's different variations of this. They don't enforce these laws unless someone complains. I have found that not only in the city of Berkeley, most police agencies have this policy. And so it's very helpful to find this out, even though we were scolding Richard for going up and asking permission, but we found out their policy and it helped us in the future. There are exceptions. If you go to witness in a mall, many people set up tables. Obviously, you're going to have to ask permission to do something like that. And malls now, I think, even under some of the lawsuits that have come up, they have to provide a venue for nonprofit and religious groups. I know that even the Jehovah's Witnesses and different groups like that go into like the airport and they'll set up. And I've known Christians also to set up in malls. So there are exceptions. So I hope that answers the question. Now for our second question, is it important to know your audience? Now, I mentioned this, some of this idea in the past. We live in a day and age where, in the modern church in America anyway, I don't know what it is like for you folks that are listening around the globe. In America, we have a kind of a mindset that you got to be relative to the generation you're speaking to. And, you know, if you're not relative, then you don't really, you're not going to be effective. You may even go so far as to say you don't have a right to talk to them because you can't relate to them, so on and so forth. So this would then forego any older person witnessing the young person because we just don't understand them and so on and so forth. I think this is an extreme. Here's what I would say. We have a universal message. We have a message of salvation, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he came into this world. It tells us in the book of Philippians that he came and that he, although was in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, coming in the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so this great God of all creation condescended down to our level out of his great love and mercy and showed his grace at the cross. He died in the place of the guilty sinner. He had paid the penalty of our sin, that God had put the wrath on his own son. And he endured that on the cross. He was crucified, he died, he was buried, but on the third day he rose again, and he is alive forevermore. And those who repent and believe in him will have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And that is the short version of the gospel message. Now, we have this message, and it is universal. What I mean by that, I don't believe in universalism. I don't believe that everyone is automatically saved just because of the fact that Jesus came and died on the cross. It is for only those who believe. So it is an exclusive way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What I mean by a universal message is that our message is to all the world. It's the same for every person, no matter who they are. So that same message, so we don't have to be that relevant. Now, having said that, the Bible does indicate that there is time to make a distinction in your people groups. For example, we know Paul, this is a famous scripture, Paul says, to the Jew, I became a Jew. To those that were under the law, I became under the law. Those that without law, I became like them, so that he becomes all things to all men, that he may save some. And so that's the idea there. We want to identify with the guilty sinner. It also tells us that in Acts 17, you know, Paul, I brought this out before, in Acts 17, he gives that discourse, a great preaching sermon on Mars Hill. He was primarily witnessing to pagans. And so when he witnessed to the Jews, he witnessed a little different. He focused more on Bible prophecy, proving that Jesus is the Christ, using the Old Testament, that he is the Messiah. That was the main message to the Jews. And to the non-Jewish audience, the Gentiles, they had, in some cases, known of the Jewish religion, so he could sort of do that. But when he spoke strictly to pagans, like on Mars Hill, he started at creation. That's how his discourse went. So he was tailoring his message to that people group, preaching at special events. A lot of special events that I've been to, a few, and my colleagues have been to many, is going to these congregations or gatherings of Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. Those are specialized events that require us to pay attention to who our audience is. Now, again, the message is the same. Personally, when I go up and I preach to a Mormon audience, I don't rail on Joseph Smith. I know we have to speak the truth in love. We have to acknowledge that he is a false prophet, but I don't rail on that. I don't belittle them. I try to focus on other aspects of their error, but in a positive way by proclaiming truth. Nevertheless, we have to consider that 99% of the people that walked by the streets there in Salt Lake City that day were Mormons, and so we had to tailor our message to them more so. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. That's why I like to go downtown in a major city. You get all walks of life, all ethnic groups, all people groups. You get the working class. You get some rich people. You get tourists. You get homeless people. You get people that are down there that would normally not be down there, but that particular day they may have to have an errand at the courthouse. You just get a broad spectrum of the human race. And I like that because you don't know who you're talking to. So you just give out the gospel, all of its glory, and preach Christ and him crucified and the resurrection of the dead, and people will hear that. And so I speak to a lot of Mormons. I speak to a lot of homosexuals. I speak to a lot of different people without necessarily even realizing it. They're just part of the major populace that goes by on a city street. And so what I say is ignorance is bliss. I don't have to worry about who I'm talking to. Sometimes that can be a detriment because we may not say things that we should, that we're sort of intimidated and we may hold back. That's not good. And then other times we might just unwittingly offend and we don't mean to do that either. And so stick to the gospel, stick to preaching about Christ, using the scriptures, do it in love, do it in compassion, and yes, be aware of your audience to a degree. And I hope that answers your question, my friends. Coming up, we have an interview with a young man. After this segment breaks, stay tuned. This is Sharing Your Faith, and I am Larry Du Bois. Hello, Larry Du Bois here. I wanted to let you know about a new website I've developed. It's called sharingyourfaithradio.com, and it, of course, is devoted to the radio show here I do on a weekly basis on firstloveradio.org. If you go to the website I've developed, you will find that on the homepage there is a nice little player there with the most current broadcasts that you can listen to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if you are unable to catch the program here on First Love Radio. You can also go to the previous broadcast tab. There you can find and listen to the previous broadcasts that I have had in the past and also download those. On the homepage, you also will find on the right column a list of many ways you can subscribe to a podcast. Apple iTunes is the most popular, but there are several there to give you a choice. There's also a short list of other ways to listen. If you would check out the webpage, there are also other things on the webpage. I have provided some links and different other features. Check it out, won't you, at sharingyourfaithradio.com. Now, you can also still get a hold of me or look at the many resources I have on my evangelism website, lawrencedubois.com. So either way, my friends, visit me on there and contact me, send me an email, and continue to listen to the program, hopefully. And so stay tuned for the rest of today's broadcast. Well, good afternoon. We have here Luke, my great-great-nephew. We're here in Sacramento. I'm going to do a little interview with him. You may have heard Luke on the beginning of the program. He is the one who announces about the radio show coming up next. So, Luke, I want to talk to you about street preaching and evangelism. How old are you now?
11.
You're 11 years old. Now, I wanted to ask you, what's your favorite part about going out street preaching and evangelizing?
To be honest, handing out tracts.
You like to hand out the tracts. That one day, I remember you handed out a whole 100-tract stack. What's your favorite tract?
It's a million-dollar tract bill. On the back, it has the scripture.
Yes, that's right. Now, where do you usually go? Well, for the sake of our audience, I know where you go because you go with me. I take you. But where do we usually go when we go down to street preach?
Downtown Sacramento or Old Town.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Tell the audience a story about the time we were out downtown Sacramento street preaching. I was preaching and you were handing out tracts and something sort of scared you. What was that?
Well, a lady, I was asked if she wanted a tract. She turned around and her face was bloody, so.
And then she walked off and she was acting a little strange, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I wasn't too excited because I see a lot of that down there. But what happened at the end of the day?
A lady came up with a bloody hand and she told us a story of how a guy pulled out a knife on her, and we gave her some money and a gift card and a homeless pack.
Yeah, that was a different lady, huh? We were trying to figure out if we had Band-Aids to give her, but we didn't. All right, Luke. Well, that's great. Do you remember the first time you ever went out with your Uncle Larry?
To be honest, not really.
Well, you were 5 years old, and your parents were out there as well, and your sister, and we went out into it was Old Town, I believe, and we did some evangelistic outreaches down there, and you were handing out tracts as a little guy.
I remember now. We go through it every time we go preaching now. It is a circle area, and we would put the suitcase full of tracts, and I would grab a switch every once in a while and hand them out, and you guys would preach.
Now, the last time we went preaching downtown Sacramento as well, you were concerned that I didn't have the display of little Gospels of John and stuff out far enough for the people to see. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, he was straightening out the little display we had. Each time we go out street preaching, generally we have a little carpet or a little piece of shelf paper or something down on the ground, and then we put our Gospel of John's tracts and different things, and we have a free sign.
Last time we had some Bibles and some CDs and some Gospel of John's.
Not many people took those, did they?
No. Some guys did take some Bibles, though.
Okay. All right, well, Luke, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you out there.
Thank you.
Welcome to today's Help Wit. Today's Help Wit is entitled Saul's Armor. And the story is found in 1 Samuel 17. You know, you've probably read the story about David and Goliath. David, who had decided he was going to take on the giant, well, he went to Saul, and Saul was going to put on him his armor, his coat of mail, his sword, his shield. These were all too heavy for David. And David said, look, they're untested. I can't use these things. So he went and got 5 smooth stones and put them in a shepherd's bag and got his sling, and he went out and went with the giant and, of course, defeated him. Now, although you can learn from others, including yours truly here, hopefully, but be yourself. Learn to do what works for you. God made you unique with your personality, and he will take you where you're at and develop your style. As you do your personal one-on-one witnessing or going out witnessing and evangelizing into the public arena, you can develop your own style. You're going to learn real quickly. We're not made like cookie-cutter Christians, so what works for one person may not work for another. Also, you can reach people no one else can. So remember that. Go with God and remember to do what works for you. Years ago, there was a popular thing among street preachers to stand on a stool, and everybody had a preaching stool. Well, it never really worked for me. I felt like, okay, you're trying to put Saul's armor on me, so to speak. Now, in turn, I have to remember not to do that to others also. When it comes to a certain amplifier I like to use or microphone, I can't really impose these sorts of things on other people. They have to do what works for them. Just remember, God has designed you to do what he has for you to do. Be in much prayer and experiment, but go out there and evangelize, my friends. Welcome back to the program, if you're just joining us. I should mention that First Love Radio and myself, we broadcast here from the San Francisco Bay Area in the United States. I know many of you listen from around the world, and we thank you for tuning in. We're here in San Francisco. It's one of the most sought-out cities in the country, outside of New York, to come and be a tourist. We have the Golden Gate Bridge here, we have Chinatown, the Fisherman's Wharf, and of course over the years it makes a great place for witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ at these locations. And so we have a lot of opportunity to share a lot here in the San Francisco Bay. One of the reasons is there's lots of people, not only that live here, but visit here. And then also we have pretty much mild weather all year long. So we don't have to deal with that. So there's people out all the time. It's a great place to witness. Well, coming up next is a segment at a permitted event that took place on March 27th, 2014. It was at the state capital of California. We're the biggest state in the United States. Our capital is significant because much of what is done in California affects the nation in some way, fashion, or form. Of course, outside of our main capital in Washington, D.C. This permit that we get, I've done several. I'll explain a little more. But what we're going to have coming up is the beginning of the sound clip you're going to hear is me narrating as we set up. And this was taken off of a video. I just captured the audio of it to put here on the radio show. But we're going to have a video, and we're going to have some other pictures and stuff on the website this week under featured content. And you can go to firstloveradio.com and go to the top of the page there. It says featured content. We're going to have some preaching there by Wally. But I do the narrating in the beginning of this clip, and then it goes right into Wally Van Zandt's preaching. We're going to have that coming up. I wanted to share a little bit. We have some time. So I want to share how I got into getting these permits at the state capitol. We live in a day and age here in America where not only is the gospel being scrutinized and come against with hate speech laws and, you know, anti-Christ ideas in our country. And so the gospel is under great attack, but not only just the gospel, but free speech in general. And so it amazes me. Free speech is alive and well right here in California. And you can get free permits up at the state capitol. You can go through a process. Now, you can go online. That's how it's done nowadays. Back when I first got the permit several years ago, how I got one was I was preaching on the corner in Sacramento, and I was using my amp and usually unhindered. So I was preaching away, and here comes a state patrol officer on a horse. You know, they patrol the Capitol grounds with horses. I was on the corner. I was on the actual street corner. I wasn't on the Capitol grounds, but it was adjacent to the Capitol. It's a very busy place, especially when the legislature is in session. So it's a good place to preach. Well, this officer comes up and says, "Hey, did you know that you can get a free permit to preach from the actual stairs of the Capitol?" And there's various locations and stuff. And so it's quite a story. I went ahead and he said, "Yeah, just go down to the inside the Capitol to the state patrol office there, and they'll give you a permit, and you fill it out and check the date you want, so on and so forth." So, well, I'm downtown with my amplifier and my packet of gospel tracts and some different things that I bring. And during that time, I went downtown on the light rail. So I don't have a car that I can go set my stuff in. But I wanted to grab that permit as soon as possible. So I proceed to go into the Capitol. Now, you got to go through a metal detector. You got to go through some check-in points. Well, here I have my preaching cart and I have my amplifier. It's in a bag. But, you know, they look through all that. They okay me. And then I'm down there looking for the office. And here comes a attendant that was at the check-in. And he hails me down and says, hey, you got to come back here. You can't. We just realized you can't be in the building here with that amplifier. I guess they were afraid I was going to use it in there, maybe bust in on a meeting and, you know, cause a protest. I don't know. I got the permit papers and then I skedaddled out of there, but I explained to him that I couldn't put those in my car or anything. I took the bus and the light rail. Well, anyway, I get this permit. I fill it out. And the first one we got was on what is called the west side of the Capitol, and that's on the stairs. Now, this entrance is closed off because they only got two entrances open for the public and for the employees, and that's so they can go through these metal detectors. But it is the front of the Capitol building that faces west, and so it's the best view if you're going to come there and take pictures. Well, anyway, we're out there on the stairs, and it's late May, the first time we get this permit, and there's not a lot of people coming up through there, so it was a little discouraging. But then, lo and behold, here come a load of school buses, because towards the end of the year, they take them on these field trips through the Capitol. It's very educational for the kids. Well, they got to come right by us. And so here we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I mentioned earlier in this program about on our questions about knowing your audience. Well, we had an audience there of mostly kids. So we did tailor our message for them, made it very simple, appealed to them. We only had one teacher or chaperone that sort of objected. Told them we had a permit, and you know, I told them to go talk to the state patrol officer that was actually standing behind me at about 200 yards away. So that was our first experience there. And then over the years, they opened it up so you can apply for these online. You can see the dates that things are taken. And so you know, and then they approve you. Well, it's not much of an approval process. It's very simple. It's very accommodating. So you tell them who's going to be there, how long. And so this is how I started to get these permits. And so we got this audio coming up as a permit at Sacramento. I wanted to mention also, since the topic today is evangelizing special events, I got to thinking about this. The question I could ask is myself, what is the strangest event I've ever preached at? Well, I've been doing this for quite some time now, and it could escape me, you know, some of the events that I've done over the years. There's all kinds of festivals, you know, New Age festivals, all kinds of rock concerts. I mean, you name it. I can't say I've been to them all, but I've been to enough of them. But I was thinking, what is the strangest one I've ever been at, you know, preaching? The strangest one I would say was several years ago. This was early on in my preaching capacity there. I went with some brothers. We went out to, in San Francisco, they have it's not a stadium, it's a exposition center. It's called the Cow Palace. It's an older building, but they still have events there. And they had this thing called the Exotic Erotic Ball. The name should say enough for itself, but you had all kinds of people coming there dressed very scantily. If I had known this before we went, I probably would not have gone. over time, I thought, you know, that was something I did when I was young. I don't know if I'd do it again. But it was basically a very perverse, very loose people waiting in line to get in. And it was just basically a pagan festival. Well, that's the strangest one I've ever gone to. And it was something else. We were preaching there and they had news cameras there, of course. And they kept, you know, wanting, you know, what happened was I was holding a sign at the time. Another fellow was preaching. There was actually four or five of us up there. We split up a little bit, but he was preaching and I'm holding a banner and I get a tap on my shoulder. I turn around, there's a camera in my face and it's starting to get dark lights. The camera and the guys ask me, what's your purpose of being here? You know, are you protesting this? And I tried to, he was getting frustrated because I wouldn't bite into what he was trying to bait me into saying something inflammatory and I wasn't going to do that. So I surprised they even put me on the news show, but they did. There was a little clip of me on the news that night that had me. And I said something about God died for the worst of sinners. And this is just another pagan festival or something. But that was probably the strangest place I've ever witnessed. I wouldn't suggest going to such a thing, though, because there were some women that needed to put some clothes on. So it was something that we had to subject. But we did minister to some, I would say they were backslidden Christians or those that had made professions. So it wasn't all for loss, but anyway, that's the strangest event. So now, without any further delay, stay tuned. Coming up is the Sacramento Capital Outreach with myself narrating, and then we go into a small clip of Wally Van Zandt preaching.
Good morning. We have Eric Martinez here setting up our sound equipment. We are on the north side steps of the state capital of California, right here in the city of Sacramento. My name's Larry Dubois. I preached in this city many times over the last several years, and on the corners of the streets, using amplification without any problem. I think technically it's legal here if it's within a certain sound. It's different depending on what officer or person you talk to, but that is irrelevant today because we have a permit. The state patrol issues permits to anybody. A lot of times it's political groups or people against certain issues. But we are exercising our free speech here today by getting a free permit issued by the state of California to preach freely the gospel of Jesus Christ right here. And so one more thing that is very common, we have school groups. So you see one in the distance there walking up. A lot of schools and different organizations bring the kids. So the kids hear the gospel where the gospel's been stifled. The teaching about God has been stifled in our public school system, as everyone knows. And so it is a great thing to be out here to be able to preach openly. And as the kids come by, at least they hear a portion of the gospel message. And so there's a small kids group very ready to take a tour, I guess.
That's in front of us because the gospel is good news. The gospel is the salvation of your soul through the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way, the Bible says. The Bible says that through the preaching of the cross, it's considered foolishness. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Larger than this shall be assembled,
like,
and on that great white throne the judge shall sit. There be not a man or woman or child who is here this morning able to make excuse.
Today you had an opportunity to reach out and embrace the precious love, the precious blood, the substance that's the most important substance on the face of the earth, now and forevermore and for eternity.
This is Larry Dubois, and I want to speak to you a moment about microphones. You may not be a street preacher like myself, but you may have a use for amplification, microphones. Maybe you are a worship leader in your church, or maybe you do some recordings. There are many microphones out there, many systems to consider. One of the microphones I use is the industry standard, both for musicians and speakers, and that is the Shure microphone. It's the SM58. To quote a friend of mine, Chuck Girard, he said, you could frame a house with these things and they would still last. And so they're very durable and they're very good. They run about $100, an all-purpose microphone, and it's very well used. I also have here a Blue microphone. Blue is a company that has produced microphones in the radio industry and the recording industry for years. They have come out with a series several years ago of fairly inexpensive street microphones, I call them. I have here the Encore 100. I picked it up for about $75 on eBay one time several years ago. I use it. I like it very well. I also have the newest to my collection is, it is called the Sennheiser. I can hardly pronounce the name. Sennheiser. It's made in Germany. It's the A35. This is also around $100. I was told by a friend of mine, a musician friend, that this is a very good microphone. So I picked it up. It was on sale. And I've added that to my collection. You may ask, why do I need so many microphones? Well, when I was in the construction industry and I did it for a living, I did it a long time. I invested in my tools and I had more than one saw. I had more than one kind of tool. So I looked to say this is a full-time venture. I decided to have use of all the different kinds of amps and microphones for different situations. Experiment. Check out the microphones. You can go online. So you can check out the microphones. I also have a page. I might have mentioned this before on my website. It's under the Street Preaching tab, and you scroll down, and it's called Using Amplification. There is a little paragraph there on microphones, and that's at lawrencedubois.com. Stay tuned for the rest of the program. As we draw near to the close of the program today, I want to give you a little preview of the next coming weeks. Next week, we're going to have, the Lord willing, the topic of being a credible witness. This will include how we behave ourselves out there. Our witness is more than what we say. Is it a credible witness? We know that God can speak through a donkey. However, I think it would be to our advantage to pay attention to how we are being a witness out there. The world is full of naysayers. As much as it depends on us, we want to bring forth a credible witness so they don't have any excuse. It just rips the rug out of any excuse they may have. Now, ultimately, in the end, if they die in unbelief, if they die in their sin, there will be no excuse before God. However, we just want to strip away any excuse they might think they have by being a good witness. If we act like a screwball out there, if we're mean, a number of other things, it not only brings shame to the name of Christ, but it gives them an excuse to say, see, those Christians, and so the message is then invalid to them because of the way we witness. Let them have nothing to say against us, and then if they do, it just doesn't stick in our credible witness. The show after that, finally, I know I promised, and hopefully if you're a regular listener, you've waited patiently, we're going to have a topic called Witness in the Workplace. And this is a very common place to witness for believers because your life is segregated into your family time. You may not have time to go out and publicly witness on a daily basis like I've done over the years, but you are to be a witness in the workplace. Now, here's the controversy. Should I even witness at all? Or if I do, how do I do it? A lot of people would say, well, just show them by the way that you live. But we're going to cover all these topics. And if everything goes well, we're going to even have a gentleman who, in our interview that particular week, that has witnessed in the workplace for a number of years successfully. Stay tuned for those shows. It's been a great week this week with our topic, Evangelizing Special Events. That's all we have time for today, my friends. Be sure to go by my website, lawrencedubois.com, your evangelism resources, or if you want to listen to a past broadcast, including this one here, go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. You've been listening to Sharing Your Faith. I am your host, Larry DuBois, and this is First Love Radio, your Christian internet station. Hope you can join us next week.